Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Prime time on 1080 The Fan. This is a Masters Week edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
It's Masters Week on Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Oh,
what is up? How are you?
The Masters. That's what's up.
Yeah, great day at the Masters.
And more importantly, today we shall drop and open up shop in honor of the great DMX.
Oh, yeah.
Well, check that. We must first stop. Then we drop.
Then we open up
shop. Then we roll. Open up shop. Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's how Rough Riders roll. Yeah.
All right, well, we'll get right into it, I guess. What are his famous? I mean, I know of him, but
he stops, drops, and open up shop.
I know that one, but okay, that's... give me more. I heard he had like five.
I don't know the names of the songs.
Yeah. It's well, one
of
sing them.
Look, you'll know it. It's just him barking a lot. If you hear someone angrily yelling at you in a halting sort of fashion,
I want you to sing.
And there's dogs, then that would be DMX.
So, is it a bigger deal that DMX died or Prince Philip?
Ooh, that depends if you're an old white guy or if you are a fan of 90s to early 2000s hip hop.
You got, ooh, y'all about to make me lose my mind.
Up in here. See?
There's one.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Prince Philip, suck on that.
Yeah. Well, pour some out for Prince Philip, too.
I mean, rest in peace.
I don't know. Is he good?
Who, Prince Philip?
I find if you're royalty, chances are you're a gigantic ass, but...
Oh, yeah. I don't know. He's 99.
I don't know. They were saying, like, I was reading some stuff, and they were saying that he was, like, super good dude, but
well,
I feel like no matter who you are when you die, then we say that you're, like, a super good dude.
Well, to be fair, DMX had plenty of issues in his past
as
well.
Yes, he did.
Yes, but plenty of hits, too, guys.
Yeah, it's like the Scoots thing, you know? It's like,
that's right.
Well, and he did die.
He did turn out to be a good person, DMX,
yeah.
Towards the end. He just had issues early on.
Yeah.
What kind of issues? Did he kill anyone?
Well, he was in jail. Yeah. He did dogfighting.
Yeah.
I forget what he was in jail for in particular, but
he had a lot of drug. Well, and he died of an
OD. He died of a drug overdose.
He died of one?
How old was he?
50, I think.
Oh, gone too soon.
There's a lot of mugshots.
I hate hearing that.
But to be honest with you, I don't really know.
He lived in my hometown for a while.
Did he really?
Yep.
Okay, well.
Teaneck, New Jersey? That's home of...
Well, he didn't grow up in Teaneck, but he did live there for a while during the early part of his career. Yeah.
Hmm. So you could say that maybe Mike Lynch, one of the original Rough Riders, that is where he learned to stop, drop, and open up shop.
That's really odd.
Oh.
It is a little weird. Yeah.
Why is that weird?
He was arrested for committing a robbery in Newark. He owed over $500,000 in outstanding child support. Yeah. Well, look, he had some.
So he's not a great guy.
Yeah.
F that guy.
Yeah. Well.
What?
He was a good rapper. I guess.
Sure.
And like I said, he did kind of rehabilitate his image towards the end. He became a better dude, but he still had problems with drugs.
What was Prince Philip good at?
I think being born. Like, I think if you're, it's all you have to do.
Like, was he a total idiot? I don't know anything about him.
At least DMX had to, like, at least he gave us something. He gave us a few tunes that we can get, you know, you can get turned up to.
Well, but Prince Philip
just was born and was rich and white. What did he do?
Whoa. He gave it to Queen Elizabeth.
That is true.
And now that is a woman.
DMX also, tax evasion.
God.
Yeah, he.
Although the tax evasion thing doesn't. You know, I'm whatever. Like, look, yeah, right? Whatever.
And then lots of drug charges, but you know.
Okay. Well, addiction.
Yeah, he was. His first prison stint was in '86. He stole a dog from a junkyard. I really don't feel that that's warranted of jail time. What?
Yeah, but you can't do that.
He spent 2 years in a juvenile correctional facility for that.
Well, there are probably other issues there.
And he escaped prison. Look, he's you know. He's had, carjacking. Yeah, it's not good.
Again.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's not good. Look, but it says, as I'm reading through here, it says a changed man. So he was a changed man.
Well, that's good.
But he was never able to overcome the addiction issues. And so this happened a couple days ago. He fell into a coma. And, you know, I guess last night it was official.
Yeah, here's the official. The Rough Rider rapper and sometimes actor faced charges of animal cruelty after police found 13 pit bulls at his Teaneck home in 1999.
Teaneck! Mike, you were 7?
I was 10.
Were you involved?
I was 10.
I'm asking. You notice how Mike didn't say no? He just kind of diverted and was like, I was 10, as if that is some kind of alibi. I don't believe it, Mike.
Was that a big deal that DMX lived there? Or was that, like, did you guys all talk about that?
No.
Or... Were you like, wait, DMX?
I don't think we knew DMX lived in Teaneck when he lived in Teaneck.
Right, see, that's the beauty of DMX living in Teaneck.
Yeah.
He's like, what? People are like, what? That's a weird one.
But you're still...
Teaneck, he was hiding some.
Teaneck had a very big black population, so it does make sense. But is a little suburb outside of New York
City.
Here's
the thing. If you're DMX and you're living in Portland and you are trying to stop, drop, and open up shop, you're probably getting busted. But in Teaneck, no one thinks anything of it. You're just, you know, you just move around.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, there's a beauty. There's a simplicity to it. You know, like here, you know, you're Zach Randolph and you're Quintel Woods. You know, you get busted right away. Although if you're Zach, you just blame it on Quintel and no one's the wiser.
Well, as an American, if I were to power rank today's important deaths, DMX would be number one.
Yes.
And Prince Philip would be number two.
I agree.
Although I do have great admiration for Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, I can't say that I do.
I love her.
She sounds like a terrible individual, too.
Mm, she's great.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you read any or did you see any of the interview there, the Oprah interview?
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah.
I like her.
Look, I have a certain...
She's my leader.
I have a certain view of royalty, and I know DMX went through some stuff, but quite frankly, I think I'd rather hang out with DMX than I would any of the British crown.
No way.
How about this?
I'm going straight to Buckingham Palace, bro.
I'm
snooping around while they're fixing tea.
DMX lived 4 blocks from my house.
Come on, now.
I'm not kidding.
Seriously?
I just found the address of his house, and I was like, oh, where is that? It's like a 2-minute drive. Yeah. Dude. It is really close.
And you didn't know that?
No idea.
Is there a chance you ever, like, little Mike Lynch was out on his Huffy, and you, like... And you cruised around? Because in all the Rough
Rider...
It
is possible.
In all the Rough Rider videos, right? They're always like on the bikes and the...
Because you know who lived literally 1 block away? My aunt and uncle. They lived on the street next to him.
Is it possible that you were part of the Rough Riders? You didn't even know it. You're just out there and all of a sudden you find yourself in the middle of one of those videos and everyone's going on the souped up bikes?
I suppose it's possible.
And you're there like on your little Huffy? Dude, that's awesome.
That's a missed opportunity though.
That
so
really
you're saying
is.
DMX was never at any of your family functions or anything?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
I'm not sure DMX is joining a Jewish family's family functions, but you know, I could be wrong.
Hey, it's neighbors, man.
Yes. I'll tell you what, if I found out that DMX was living 3 or 4 blocks from me, I'd make a lot of just like, I'd be walking the dog by his house and be like, oh, I didn't know that you were out. I'm just circling his place, waiting to see him, be like, oh, And then I don't know what I call him, Mr. X, or I don't know what his real name is.
My dad just texted me. Apparently, Biggie lived in Teaneck at one point as well.
What the hell is going on?
Teaneck is a nexus of a lot of things.
Did they know the talented young Mike Lynch was just
also
near?
Dave Winfield and Willie Randolph lived in Teaneck.
Well, see, I don't care about that.
Wow.
I mean, Yankee players, but.
Sure. Someone DMX.
Said, Dickard's in saying Mike was the poorest kid in DMX's neighborhood.
Not really. DMX's house was very modest.
Boy, we are peeling back the layers of the onion of Mike Lynch.
There are lots of layers.
It gets better and better.
No one knew. And yet, this is true. Lynch, now a Rough Rider confirmed. I think this is true. I think this is now.
I knew there was some street in there.
It has been established.
I told you David Stern went to my high school.
Yeah, apparently Teaneck is
former NBA commissioner.
Now you're just bragging.
The tentacles of Teaneck, New Jersey.
Lawrence Frank went to my high school.
Who?
Lawrence Frank, former Clippers head coach.
All right, you need to replace him with someone else. That's
I just went from NBA to NBA.
That's
look, I'm just saying things were going really cool for you there. You went from DMX to Biggie to David Stern
to Lawrence
to
Frank?
Lawrence Frank.
I just mentioned somebody.
God, man.
Let me just say this next time: you start with Lawrence Frank and then you work forward. Lawrence Frank is an appetizer at best. That's not dessert.
That works better if they're like, "Hey, Mike, where are you?" Somebody's like, "Where are you from?" Oh, Teaneck, New Jersey. You ever heard of Lawrence Frank? What? Who? No. NBA coach. He's from there. DMX.
Yeah.
There
you go.
Great place.
You start with Lawrence Frank. And then you go.
Well, hello, everyone. Hello, friends. It's Isaac and Souk. We are here for you on a Friday. We are excited to produce some mediocre sports talk radio for you. It's what we do.
And mediocre it will be.
Joey Harrington will be a part of that, 5:30, because it's Friday. Mm-hmm. We will probably have a bitch-free Blazers zone.
Define bitch-free Blazers zone? What?
Well, you know what I mean. Like, we don't need to sit and bitch about the Blazers all day. No. We know they suck, right? Yeah,
yeah. So yes.
We don't need to.
It was. It's like, I think it should have happened before last night, but if there was any doubt that they indeed sucked, last night solved it. It solved the riddle, and boy, I'll tell you what.
They're not any good.
I'll just say I happened to be watching some of the game was over, and then, sometimes you just leave the channel on, and then I was out and about doing something. I circled back around, and the Blazers outsider was on there doing the post game, and they'll carry some of the press conference stuff, and boy, Lillard, I don't know if I've ever heard Damian Lillard that raw, honest, and just fed up than he was last night. That was, I think the reality set in for a lot of people, and I think it set in last night for Lillard just how, I guess, futile this is right now.
Well, we don't have to talk about that because we'd be stating the obvious.
Yes.
The Blazers suck.
1-8. And I think now it's like what?
1-8.
1-8 against teams above them in the standings, and they are losing by an average of it's like 15, 15 and a half.
Hey, but
points.
That one win was pretty good.
Third game of the year against the Lakers.
It was a nice win.
It was a nice
That was
win.
Full-strength Lakers.
That was full-strength Lakers.
And full-strength.
Take
Blazers.
That away from them. Try.
Not pretty. Not pretty last night.
Well, who cares about that? We have been teed up a great story. And this is where we're going to start.
Yeah, I understand.
I only learned about this from Dusty and AJ's show that didn't have AJ on it again.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we might need to talk about her vacation time and her deal. Mm-hmm.
That she's been working for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's good to be AJ.
It is good to be AJ.
Yes, it is.
She wasn't even here again today.
No. Last time she was here, she was wearing more new Jordans. She's laced. She's got the fame and fortune deal.
Well, anyway, I was listening, very disappointed that AJ was not on there as I drove in today mm-hmm. to work here at the studio. And they were talking about a homeless man who snuck into USC spring football.
Yes.
And stayed there for days.
And was in a jacuzzi. And then he caught punts.
And boy, did that get my attention.
I think it got all of our attention.
Should we unpack it?
I think we're going to have to. And by the way, for people saying there's no way that can happen, I'm here to tell you that when I heard that, I'm like, that's 100% believable.
Well, my first thought was, and we're going to lay it out for you what actually happened. Mm-hmm. But my first thought was that could easily happen because there's just people around.
Yes.
And not everybody knows each other.
No,
right?
No, it's like, yeah, I will make an admission today of something that I am not proud of. during my time at BYU that will...
You played with your brother and you didn't even know it.
No, this was much worse than that. And it's not my shame alone. It was really an entire offensive line shame. But it'll give you just an idea of just how anonymous people can be on a team. Because I think people are like, there's no way someone would know. Everyone knows everybody. No, they don't.
All right, well, we'll start there. If you haven't heard this story, it's bananas. It is 3:15 on The Fan.
This is a Masters Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up, there is more to the Tiger Woods story, as we speculated. Some things leaking out.
I still can't believe that they didn't do a deeper investigation the more that comes out.
Yeah, have you seen the latest?
Oh, yeah. I saw the latest today. I'm like, and no one thought to
well, they're
do
they're,
the talks?
Yeah, but there's a reason why.
Yeah, I saw that too.
We'll get to that. Yeah. And then also, there is another NFL trade rumor of a team wanting to trade up for a quarterback.
Yeah.
For Trey Lance, to be exact. But first, Jace, the best story of the day.
Hands down the best story of the day. It's going to be the best story of spring practice, period, from any program.
There was a homeless man.
See, this is somewhat, like, misleading.
Okay. Yeah, because you think, like, Ted Kaczynski.
When I think homeless guy, right. I immediately think Frank.
Right.
Frank Gallagher from Shameless.
Right.
He was there. He's a homeless individual, but he is a homeless youth.
Yeah. Well, and I immediately thought, you know, in L.A. at USC, their homeless probably look like Matthew McConaughey.
Probably.
You know, it's like we're picturing
just
like
some handsome fellow. Michael B. Jordan rolls in off the street.
It's some starving actor, ex-porn star kid who thought he could make it big in L.A. And now he.
Yeah.
But he looks like $1 million.
So, like, it's not your typical homeless guy. He is, they said, of the age of the athlete.
Shocking. A misleading news headline.
Yes. Fake news.
But, you know, misleading, yes. False, no.
No,
he's homeless. He did not have a home.
He's a man, but he's not 40, but he's homeless.
And he was fielding punts at USC's football practice.
That's how I got busted.
Just want to report that to you.
Icarus flew a little too close to the sun on that one.
This is great. Okay.
He had everything going for him until he tried to field punts.
So he had a good bit going, you're saying?
I guess it lasted several days. And they knew him. So I guess the security guards.
Wait. Okay. Start from the beginning because I actually don't know the full story. I heard it when I was driving in. Dusty and Will were talking about it, and it had me floored, and I can't wait to hear every single detail.
Okay, so Scott Wolf, we've had Scott Wolf
on
the program.
I'm 40.
He's one of the
isn't he kind of an ass?
A lot of USC fans aren't big fans of his. They think
so he tells the truth.
Yeah, they think he hates the program. It's one of those.
Ah, so you know what that's code for? Yeah. He tells the truth.
He tells the truth.
I have more respect for him now.
So I guess he's been talking to a couple of security guards because in a study and development, USC didn't want this to get out. But Wolf wrote the piece and said he had talked with multiple security guards. And I guess the security does know this guy. They caught him hanging around the soccer fields at USC some time ago. So I guess somehow he managed to not only gain access to like the practice field, but he was at the McKay Center, which is like their big football facility. He was in a hot tub with a couple of the players. He managed to eat at their dining hall. Also this, he was living in one of the luxury suites at the Coliseum. And they said, quote, for some time.
So I assume it's shut down because of COVID.
Well, yeah, there's nothing going on
so
there.
So that helped him.
That helped him, but I'm sure I doubt they're practicing at the Coliseum, but they said he was living, although maybe they were doing some practice stuff there, but he was living in one of the luxury suites, and he somehow got a helmet and some, and I don't know if it was pads or not because it's spring, so sometimes you're not in pads, but he got a helmet and a jersey number 87, and he started fielding punts. And it was only then that someone was like, hey, who the hell's 87
Wait,
there?
Who's someone?
Well,
who figured it out?
One of the coaches or someone was like,
That's pretty astute.
Yeah.
Like, how would you know that?
Well, eventually someone, and this is the problem. Had he just kept to himself and milled around, he probably could have kept this going for longer. Eventually, someone is going to be watching film and be like, hey, who the hell's catching punts?
Well, 87 was a real player, right?
87's a real player.
But he wasn't there?
Well, this is where it's a little unclear, but lots of times teams will have two numbers. You know, there'll be two number twos. So we'll have to look up and see who 87 is on the USC roster. And remember, with walk-ons, a lot of times they're just handed a random number. So I guess that's how he got busted, though, was catching. So he was catching punts.
He muffed a few.
Yeah.
Caught the attention of Clay Helton, who will have none of that.
And someone is like, hey, what's
Wait,
happening?
Wait, who are you?
Yeah, what
Wait,
is
why
happening
can you
here?
Not catch the ball?
And so I guess once security was alerted there and they found who this guy was, security was like, oh yeah, we know who this is. And then they gave him the heave-ho. I'm looking here to see who 87 is. 87 is a tight end.
The real 87.
Hollenquest Cole. He's 6'4", 235. He's a redshirt senior. So.
Whoa.
Yeah. And this
so
guy.
They all, a senior. They all know who 87. How does this happen? Wait a minute. You're telling me this guy. Now, I can totally see this guy, like you say, mingling around and laying low.
Yeah.
And kind of getting away with it for a while.
Oh, he's a senior walk-on too. So this the real
87.
The real 87 is a transfer walk-on. No one knows who he is.
So this guy knew that? How does he get 87's number? So much questions.
Well, so here's the thing. To get in, all you would have to do is find some team gear, a pair of shorts and a t-shirt, and you could easily blend in with the crowd. And they did say that, you know, a lot of the security measures like fingerprint technology and stuff had been relaxed because of COVID. And so maybe that had something to do with it. But I'm telling you, man, if you just had a way to get some USC team issued workout gear, you could easily blend in with the crowd.
So how did he do that?
I don't know.
And where's 87? What, did he kill him?
No, he's still probably hanging around. Yeah, he just.
Well, then why isn't he wearing his number?
He will serve as a reserve tight end and a walk-on senior in 2021.
None of this makes any sense.
I'm telling you, there are multiple, a lot of times there, especially in spring.
So how did he get it then?
If you got access to a team locker room, I'm telling you, it would not be that hard to grab some gear from someone.
Boy, this sounds like a bit for Mike.
And remember too,
Try to sneak Mike into Ducks football camp.
We don't know. You could probably do this with all the story not officially out. It's possible that he got caught the day he tried to go out to practice. So, you know, if he did get into someone's locker, threw on a jersey, threw on a helmet and got out there, he may have been busted right then and there. Because if he was living at the Coliseum for some time, he was probably milling around the team for some time, but he got caught at practice. So we don't know how many times he went out to practice. But I will admit something here, and it's kind of shameful, but this is a 100%.
Can you stop? Because yeah. I know this story,
yeah.
And it's fantastic. And well,
I feel terrible.
It's awful.
But it's true.
But it's longer.
Yes.
And it will lead to more questions.
Yes.
So can we do this when we come back?
We can do this when we come back. Because if you doubt, because I'm hearing plenty of people be like, no way, players would know. They'd be like, who is this guy? I have a story that unfortunately is 100% true that will shed some light on just how anonymous you can be on a football team. And this does not involve... this does not involve a walk-on or a homeless gentleman.
Pretty good little leaderboard at the Masters. Mike has that for you now with SportsCenter.
This is a Masters Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, real quick before we get to your story, I forgot in all the excitement of a homeless man catching punts at USC practice.
Well, attempting to catch punts. We don't know if he actually caught
one. I'd like to see some video of that.
Yeah, catching punts can be challenging, man.
Yeah, it's not as easy as you think.
That is not an easy thing to do. Maybe the real 87 can catch some punts. I don't know.
You know, it's funny. Catching punts is probably not easy, especially when guys are like barreling down on you.
Yeah.
And yet when a guy drops one, we're just like, idiot.
Moron.
God, you're the worst.
I wouldn't have dropped that.
Bench him. How hard is it? I forgot our poll question. AAA Heating and Cooling, family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. It is on our website, 1080thefan.com. For which Northwest team is it the hardest to be a fan?
I think I know where this should go. Okay. There's really not another answer.
Yeah, I feel like it's fairly easy, but
it's a landslide.
If you think about it, you're like, well,
no.
Blazers,
Beavers, Mariners. log on and vote.
Mariners.
Okay.
It's the Mariners.
Yeah.
It's the Mariners.
So
have you seen their offense and their pitching
and their history?
Bro.
Bro. Blazers look like freaking Lakers compared to them.
Yeah.
So a homeless man is doing football things at USC spring camp.
I love that he's hanging out in the jacuzzi. he's getting some treatment, hanging out in the hot tubs. What's
and
up, guys?
He did this for a couple of days.
Yes.
He even lived at the Coliseum.
For some time, they said.
They have suites there, apparently.
By the way, well, yeah, everyone's got luxury suites. That's a pretty sweet gig, man.
Oh, he was just in like a.
Yeah, he was in one of the luxury suites.
Okay. Yeah. I pictured like they had some, you know, like the Paul Allen. I don't know why I thought
yeah,
this.
The Paul Allen apartment.
You know the Paul Allen apartment above
Moda. No, they just said he was living in one of the suites.
Okay.
Which is kind of a kick-ass thing. I mean,
it's not bad.
If you're a homeless
temperature
guy,
controlled.
Yeah, if you're a homeless dude in L.A., you probably don't have to worry about that. But if you're in L.A., I think that's probably the best setup you could
got
have.
A good view.
It might be hot. Yeah. You'd like it to be cool.
I think it's temperature controlled up there.
Yeah, probably.
And it's a good view of the pitch.
Yeah, just hanging out. And go down there at night, run some routes, work on the game.
There's probably a fridge.
There's somebody tracking the electrical bill, and they're like, why is it so much higher than normal in the offseason?
What is with this one suite that keeps having the lights on?
So the obvious question is, how does this happen? And it makes USC look really bad.
Yeah.
And your point is that it's actually not that hard.
No. Again, remember that the real 87 was a transfer from Penn, senior walk-on.
That's a key.
No one knew who he is. No one knows who the hell 87 is.
Because it's early in spring ball.
It's early in spring ball. And let me just say, it's spring ball. No one gives a rip about anything that's going on.
Ooh, I did leave the Cougs off. Apologies to the Cougs.
Yeah.
That should probably be on there.
No, man, the Cougs have been to some Rose Bowls. You know, no.
Well,
come
Mariners
on.
Have had, you know, I mean, one year.
One year. So already, you know, you need to understand that things come and go during spring practice, and it's very informal. There's a reason why in spring you put a name on your helmet, right? They put a piece of athletic tape, and you write your name on it so the coaches know who the hell you are. And there is, I have a pretty good story about not knowing who I was, the head coach, basically. But this story, because the coaches not knowing who you are is way more plausible. But the one I keep hearing is the players would know. No, they won't, because this was not a walk-on, nor was this spring practice.
Well, you said he was a walk-on.
The one I'm going to
tell.
Oh,
you're talking about.
And I feel horrible because
I love this.
It's pretty shameful.
It's uncomfortable, but.
It is uncomfortable.
Listen close, friends.
So hang with me.
Ooh,
apparently, this gentleman, this young man, was with us for spring, was with us all during summer conditioning.
BYU.
And was with us during fall camp.
What year?
98-ish. I think probably 98.
Magical year.
1998. All right. Maybe 99. He passed away in fall camp.
Mm.
So... we read about this in the paper that BYU football player dies.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all kind of sitting around and we're like, oh my God, like who, you know, who is it? And then like someone reads the name and we're in bays, you know, like by position group. Right. So we have like bays of lockers. And so we're sitting there as the O-line, and we have a team meeting to kind of, you know, to talk about this. They call everyone in and we're all sitting there. And no one wanted to say it. And then finally someone's like, hey, who is this? And it just starts going around. Everyone's like, I don't know. Like, and then we're all like, well, he must be a walk-on or something. And then they're like, no, dude, I think he's been here. And everyone's like, just shut up. So we go into the team meeting and they say he died tragically in a car accident. Still don't know who he is. No clue. And now they're like talking about it and they're doing like news reports about like how we're going to honor him. We have no idea who he is. None whatsoever. I don't know what position he played. I don't remember. So now we're all going to his funeral And again, we just are like, what? No one will admit.
So is it kind of a stretch that the news is saying BYU football player? If you guys don't even know who he is, it's like the news is trying to like.
Yes. And this was our thing. Oh. They were like interviewing people about how we were going to play the season for. We didn't know who he was. And then we walk in and I hand to God, the first time I saw this man, and it I feel awful, was at his funeral. And one of my friends, he turns to me as we're walking into the funeral and out loud, he goes, he was black. And I was like, shut the blank, stop. He said it out loud.
So he didn't know he was.
He didn't know. There's only
well,
like
you didn't either.
No, I didn't either. There's only like five black guys on our entire team.
Did you think he was a white guy?
Everyone's white. It's BYU. And we're all sitting there at the funeral.
That is a great point.
Everyone is so uncomfortable. Like, we're just all sitting there, and it's like, oh, my Lord. And they've got him dressed in uniform.
What?
He's in the casket in his uniform. No one knew. And so they were like, does anyone, they were like having people like say stuff. We were supposed to like stand up and like everyone's supposed to. I didn't know who he was. It was the first time I ever saw him in my entire life.
By the way, that kind of goes against the fact that they just said BYU football player to say it, because if his family put him in the uniform,
yeah,
that means it meant a lot.
He loved it.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a prominent player.
I don't know if
Well, it's a good point to illustrate that, you know, the players on the team may not know everyone who's out there in spring ball.
I will never forget my friend turning to me and saying that out loud. And then, like, you know, when someone said, and he didn't mean anything by it, he just was surprised.
So the whole team had to go to the funeral?
Yes. And then once he said that, like, everyone kind of turned and looked, and we were just like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. And it was, you know, it was a public thing. And so we had like memorial patches on, like our jersey and like the helmet, and they made a big deal. To this day, I don't even remember what his name was. And so, like, when you tell me, and he was not a walk-on, that was a scholarship player that supposedly was going to play. He had been there from like March until when he unfortunately passed away, like in August or, you know, during camp. No clue. And so don't tell me that someone can't be around a football team for a couple days and not have people know who they are.
Terrence Harvey.
How do you know that?
I Googled BYU player dies in car accident 1998. Terrence Harvey. It was 1997, I believe.
Another magical year. Well, that's okay. Well,
yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of guys running around. Like, and you being an offensive lineman.
Yes.
I know you've said this about the NFL. Like, there's a lot of guys, like, it's offense and defense.
Yes.
The offense, I mean, they know who plays on the team, the stars.
But not really.
But they don't really, like, it's not like they hang out or ever see each other. You're all in different groups and doing different drills and doing different meetings.
I've had that before where someone will come up to me and be like.
He was a sophomore.
He was a sophomore.
And he played cornerback.
Sophomore.
He was from
corner.
Las Vegas.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. Like, and I'm telling you, to this day, I still feel horrible about that. Like, we were all just sitting there being like, we are awful human beings.
You feel horrible for not knowing who he was?
Yeah.
How would you know?
Wait a minute.
But it's not like it's the one. How many guys are on a team at that time?
Like 100.
Right. So it's not like he's the only person you didn't know that was around there.
No, but
that would be bad if it was like the one guy, you're like, oh.
Okay, here is why. Nobody knew who it was. Uh-oh. Here's the details.
Okay.
Harvey transferred to BYU 3 weeks prior from Victor Valley Community College.
Oh, my
College.
God. Okay. Why do you feel bad?
He made his first appearance in the lineup Saturday at left corner in BYU's win over SMU.
You should know that.
And then he was, then he died in the car accident after that game.
Okay.
Did you know anything of him playing this new guy at
None.
Corner?
None. Nothing. Nothing.
I don't think
all.
You should feel bad about that. I mean, how would you know him?
Oh, so just is you just don't know everybody. You really, really don't. And my other one, now this is on me. So
there was another player in the crash, by the way.
Died?
He lived. It was a freshman defensive back who was in fair condition.
Who Jason also didn't.
What
know.
Was his name?
That was Roderick Foreman.
I knew it. Really?
Really?
He was.
Freshman defensive back Roderick Foreman, 17 of LA,
oh
was
God.
In fair condition.
I feel like we're in therapy.
And had hand surgery.
I knew him. He was actually a good dude. See, this is why I'm saying, like, I knew him. He was there.
Maybe you should shoot him a text.
And I did not know that he was in.
Better late than never. How you feeling?
This again, like I'm a horrible human being. Like you should
yeah,
be
able you should
to. There
know
was
that.
Somebody else in the car accident too.
Oh dear.
Was junior defensive back Tony Fields.
Do you know him?
Tony Fields.
He was 20.
No.
In the junior.
No.
Football's football.
What year were you in 1997?
I was freshman.
Okay, so that's why you knew the freshman.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
No. So There was one.
It went from you. You
feel
were
like,
good, and then you were bad again.
Yeah, I think that I give you a pass on the death.
Yeah,
rest in peace, Terrence Harvey, or what?
Yes.
Yeah,
but I don't give you a. You should.
I should have.
You should have known that the other kid was in the that. Like that's like, what are you doing?
I'm telling you, man. It's a.
What is your deal?
Everyone just kind of does. Like it's a very.
Well, they were all defensive backs. So.
Yeah, I was a young O lineman. So after my freshman year, Norm Chow was basically our head coach.
Ah, Norm.
No, old Norm.
Mr. Congeniality.
Norm came up to me once when I was eating in the little food line there, and he gave me this big old spiel how they were counting on me and they needed me to, and I felt all good about it.
Mm.
You know, I was all like, yeah, you know, hey, they know who I am. All I'm right. bowed up, blah, blah, blah. No, I found out 2 or 3 days later when I went up to talk to him. He had no idea who the hell he was. He thought I was another offensive lineman who, by the way, had been kicked out a week before for honor code violations.
So he didn't even know the kid who he was trying to
prop up. Gone. Got the heave.
Is that an indictment on Norm Chow or is that a common thing?
My roommate never let me hear the end of it because he was there. And like for the next 4 years, he made fun of me nonstop. Over that, because when I went up to talk to Norm Chow like a couple days later, he asked me who I was. He goes, what's your name? And I was like, well, we just talked. No, we didn't. No idea who I was. So I'm telling you, man, when you get 100 kids running around there and you get whatever it is, the 75 scholarships, there are plenty of people that have no idea whatsoever who the hell you are, what you've got going on, easily. If someone got a hold of some gear, you could slip in there.
Well, okay. This guy at USC got booted, so he's out of there.
Yeah, he has been. But it is a...
But I guarantee you there are going to be people now trying to do this.
Yeah.
Around the country.
Someone better take some security measures here, because if you don't think it can happen, the moment I heard that story, I was like, oh yeah, 100% this could totally happen.
You know, look at it the other way. Why do you need security measures? Maybe if he could catch a punt, maybe you found a punt returner.
He takes one back to the house and all of a sudden
you're like, oh my God.
Get that man a scholarship.
You could dodge a wrench, you could dodge a ball.
All right. More to the Tiger Woods story, guys. More little deets leaking out next on The Fan.
This is a Masters Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
Okay. Joey Harrington will be joining us later, 5:30, on your Swatch Watches. A little hot Masters talk and another NFL trade rumor. But Tiger Woods, remember him?
I do remember him. I saw that they just showed his master stats. He won 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
He played 21 times. He had 14 top 10 finishes.
That's crazy.
Man. Made the cut every single time.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So Tiger, we here on this show believe there's more to his crash than they're saying.
Yeah, I don't believe the
the
official story that he just had an accident.
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
I think they're protecting him.
I do. I think for whatever reason.
Oh, you do too.
Yeah. For whatever reason, you know, celebrity, I think he got the benefit of the doubt.
Well, for whatever reason is he's Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
And he's been through this before and.
I can see it going.
No one was hurt.
I can see it going both ways though.
No one else was in it, you know, in the crash.
Yeah.
So, and he was pretty badly wounded.
Oh yeah.
So I could totally see them being like, okay. Let's just get him to the hospital and we'll worry about it there.
Yeah.
So the latest is that once he was in the hospital, there was a deputy that went to interview him. Mm-hmm. And this is from the USA Today who obtained the collision report. It's 22 pages long.
Yeah.
Which that's wild, but that's long. Anyway, it broke down the specifics of the wreck, and he, of course, had significant injuries to his leg. The officer that went there to interview him said that he thought he was in Florida.
Yeah.
And that's not good, because that's exactly what happened the last, when he got his DUI.
He thought he was in Florida.
Well, I think he, wasn't he in Florida?
No, he was, I think he was in Los Angeles. Either he was in Florida and thought he was in LA.
It was the other way.
In LA and he thought
he was
in Florida.
He was close to home. He was in Florida. But I think he said he thought he was in California or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he thought he was in the wrong spot.
Dude was out of his mind. Well, anyway, I guess he said he thought he was in Florida, and they found an empty pill bottle in his backpack. Now, that's a stretch.
Yeah, but it was.
But it's also kind of not.
It was unlabeled.
Yeah, unlabeled.
Yeah.
So that's the latest.
Well, and they said that from the black box, too, not only was he going 87 miles an hour, they did say that there was no attempt to steer until after he started to roll. Which
insinuating
is,
he passed out.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
right?
Yes. I mean, look.
Because he was going straight.
He was going straight, and they said that even when he hit the curb, at no point were the brakes applied, and at no point was there an attempt to steer, because I guess the car has all that data now. It's a computer. It's the black box in it. And it said in the report that had he attempted to slow down or attempted to steer, the accident probably would have been avoided because he wouldn't have hit the median. I guess when he hit the median, that's when the car went out of control. And I find it fascinating that you were going 87 miles an hour downhill, and even after hitting the median, you still didn't attempt to turn the car. They said only after he was well into the crash was there any attempt to turn the wheel. And they said that might have been involuntary, because the car is rolling, that you might have turned the wheel. So I just have a hard time. And look, we may never know. I have a hard time believing that no attempt whatsoever at that speed. I think he was out of it or had passed out when it happened.
They also said that he had such low blood pressure at the scene that they could not administer any type of pain medication.
Yeah.
And the sheriff reported that he was somewhat combative at the scene as well. So those are the little deets. What any of that means, again,
it's all water.
Like you say, we'll probably never know. Yeah. And the reality is it's over. The guy's lucky to be alive, and nobody else was injured or hurt or involved. So therefore it's a moot thing, but it's just that, unfortunately we've seen this with Tiger before.
And two and two isn't adding up here.
Yeah. And it's just a little too, there's too many fishy things, and it just sucks. But,
hopefully
he's right.
I just don't know how you can convince me that
healing,
no one hits the brake or attempts to turn even after smacking into a median. You would think that even had you fallen asleep or something, that wakes you up, and then you're like, well, better try. Nope. Even after he hit that, he kept going straight, through the other lane. So, if this isn't a wake up call, I don't know what would possibly be.
We have a good leaderboard at the Masters. It's shaping up, fella, for a nice weekend. Really nice weekend. We'll tell you who's up there. And an NFL draft trade rumor, Trey Lance is now the hot commodity, because all the other quarterbacks have essentially been slotted in.
Seemingly.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know, but you know how we do. We feel like Mac Jones is going to the Niners. Therefore, who's Trey Lance going to? Whoa, there's a team today that wants to trade up for Trey Lance. They love him.
Yeah. And suddenly all the holes, there's always one guy that people fall in love with, Mac Jones, or Zach Wilson, to be honest with you. But there's always one that everyone wants to start pulling apart. And for whatever reason, that is Justin Fields, that everyone now is taking shots at him.
All right. We'll get to those items coming up next. It's 4:00 on The Fan.